For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini, and I'm joined in the studio today by Mallory Batista, a board member of Columbia Fire and Iron, a nonprofit organization that teaches and promotes blacksmithing and traditional metalwork in the Inland Northwest. Recently, Spokane Arts announced that Columbia Fire and Iron were the winners of the final round of the 2018 Spokane Arts Grants Award. They've been awarded $10,000 to support their mobile blacksmithing outreach and education project. Mallory Batista, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So before I saw the Saga Award announcement, I have to admit that I didn't know there was a blacksmithing organization in Spokane. Can you give me just a short history of Columbia Fire and Iron and what you guys are all about?
Sure. Well, we started back in 2013. I was not one of the founding members. I'm actually a recent board member, but I really enjoyed some of their early events. We host two hammer-ins every year where we invite blacksmiths from the surrounding area to come hammer for 2 days. And it's a great introductory experience for people that have never picked up a hammer, but it's also a good way for people that maybe just haven't done it in a while to come and meet other smiths and get back into it. And so it sort of started with just those two events each year, but we're really hoping to offer more events. There's a lot of blacksmithing shows on TV right now, which has really, you know, pumped up the interest in blacksmithing a bit of late. When we do our demo at the fair, we always have people coming up and saying, oh, I love Fortune Fire, or I love Milwaukee Blacksmith, and I've always wanted to try that. And so we're really trying to offer more events because the demand is really increasing.
Great. Yeah, so that was my next question is, you've got $10,000. What's your plan for that money?
The Saga grant is going to be a huge impact on us because as it is right now, we have been investing in a lot more equipment and we have a lot of anvils and forges and hammers and all those things that we need, but we don't have a permanent place to store them. And so putting on events is quite a production because we're having to drive all over the place to everybody's shops just to collect all of the heavy equipment. And so it's kind of a headache. And so with the Saga grant, we'll be able to buy a trailer and store all of our equipment there. And that's going to be just a huge impact. We'll be able to find a used trailer to fit our needs and then have some money left over. The way we're estimating it, we should be able to get a trailer and 6 new anvils, which will be wonderful. And then if we have anything left over beyond that, we can always use more hammers and tongs and steal the hammer.
So you mentioned that you have a hammer in. So for somebody who's never seen one of the blacksmithing TV shows or is familiar with it, what does it look like when somebody shows up to a hammer-in event?
Well, the way we do it now, because there are so many more people that want to participate, now we have it broken into morning and afternoon sessions over the course of a weekend. And so it'd be a 4-hour event, and you show up with about 24 other people. And we usually have 6 forges and 12 anvils, ideally. And so 4 smiths to a forge and 2 smiths to an anvil. And we have a progressive curriculum. So if you've never done it ever before, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to forge a nail. But after you master doing a nail, then you can do an S-hook, or we have a few other basic projects to do. And then if you've been here before, we have harder projects like this last hammer-in. We had people practice a bunch of different styles of twists. Everybody likes the twists because they look really cool. And we always have somebody that wants to do like a fire poker or things like that. But depending on how much you've done, we have a progressive curriculum to try to accommodate everybody.
My guest is Mallory Batista, who is a board member for Columbia Fire and Iron, which is a blacksmithing organization, and they're the most recent awardee of the Saga grant from Spokane Arts, which this time around was a $10,000 grant. So getting back to the Saga grant, it was a really competitive process, as it always is. I saw on their website that for this round, there were 24 artists and organizations that applied for this $10,000 grant. What do you think made your application stand out among that group?
Well, I don't know what any of the other applicants were applying for. I feel very lucky that we got it because I'm sure that there were several other deserving applicants. I can imagine that, I know we did a lot of work on having a well-organized proposal. We were very specific on what we wanted and how it was going to impact us as a group. I did reach out to other members in the community for instance, the Emerson Garfield Farmers Market was one entity that we were in communication with, that if we were able to get this grant, that we would be able to do blacksmithing demos at their farmers market. Mm. And so that's something that's in the works, and they gave us a letter of support, which is great. Another entity was the county library system. They do a lot of work with local artists to bring special classes and things to their cart holders. And so that was another avenue that we're exploring. Now that we have the trailer, we can do blacksmithing at the library, which I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
And it'll reach a whole new audience, because mostly the people that are coming to our hammer-ins, you know, they have an existing interest in blacksmithing. A lot of them, they see us at the fair demoing, or they've come to blacksmithing events before, or they know somebody that's into blacksmithing. But if we can start doing more demonstrations around town, like at the farmers market and the library, I think we'll just reach a whole new demographic that, you know, maybe just didn't even know that they had an interest in blacksmithing until they saw it. So that's our hope with it.
And you said that you're a relatively recent board member. So how did you first get involved with blacksmithing?
Well, I saw Steve McGrew, our president, demonstrating at the fair, which is how a lot of people get started. And I took a class from Steve about 5 years ago and just really loved it. I dabbled with metalwork before. When I was a kid, I used to make sculptures out of wire and stuff. And so metalwork in general has always interested me. And seeing the blacksmithing, it was just like, wow, this is really cool. And once I tried it, I was like, I got to keep doing this. This is awesome. So I'm slowly trying to put my own shop together, but it's not there yet. So Columbia Fire and Iron is really my outlet to be able to blacksmith semi-regularly.
You mentioned that you were interested in other types of metalwork previously, and blacksmithing is such an ancient art form. But your mission statement on your website talks about how you're interested in keeping that tradition alive, but also, you know, having modern tools and technology. So how do you balance those two things in your classes, where you're teaching this really ancient form of metalwork, but also trying to do something a little bit more modern?
That's a great question. Well, learning to blacksmith with the old tools is actually a great way to start, because I've used a power hammer before, and let me tell you, you just make mistakes faster. So just having a hammer in your hand and learning how to control it and in what way you are trying to move the metal, learning that slowly rather than jumping to power tools, I think is just a really good route. The people that attend our hammer-ins are exposed to modern equipment. Like I said, our events are usually at the commercial shop, Morgan Jade Ironworks out on East Euclid. And David has a power hammer out there. He's got all the modern tools. And so contrasting those two things, seeing how both work, I think really connects the dots for everyone of how we got where we are now. I mean, the fundamentals of metalwork haven't changed. It's just how much power there is. Is it is it somebody just striking with a hammer, or is it a machine doing it? But it's the same, you know, technique.
If someone's hearing this interview and they're interested in getting involved or trying blacksmithing for the first time, what would you recommend?
Well, definitely go on our website and join our newsletter, and then you'll always find out when we have events coming up. We do have a few classes early 2019. We've been doing that the last couple of years sort of as a fundraiser to buy more tools. So we always seem to need more tools for the next hammer-in. But like I said, we are hoping to offer a lot more events this year. So definitely sign up for our newsletter or follow us on Facebook if you prefer Facebook, just to stay in the loop, because hopefully we'll have a lot more demos and a lot more hands-on opportunities for people to try blacksmithing. But definitely we'll have a spring hammer-in and a fall hammer-in and our demo at the fair. Those are the things we do every year, and we're still working out what those additional events are going to be.
My guest has been Mallory Batista. She's a board member for Columbia Fire and Iron, a nonprofit blacksmithing organization, and they are the most recent recipient of a $10,000 award from Spokane Arts. Thank you for being with me, Mallory.
Thank you for having me.